Gracious and loving Lord Jesus, be with us, walk with us, be at work within us. Grant that the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts may be acceptable to you. On the afternoon of the day that Christ was raised again, two disciples were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking about everything that had happened. So begins one of the best-loved stories in Luke's Gospel. We don't know who these disciples are. One of them is named Cleopas, common enough. The other is unnamed. Clearly they knew Jesus, but they are not among the 12, the inner group of disciples. We don't know why they are going to Emmaus. We don't actually know where Emmaus was, in what direction from Jerusalem. The town is mentioned only once in Scripture and nowhere else, and it no longer exists. We know so very little about these two, yet I think everyone can identify with them. And if we love this story, it is because, in a sense, this is our story. You and I, we are walking along in the middle of the road of our life, and we are at least occasionally confused and overwhelmed. And the answer to our confusions, the strength that would restore our confidence, Jesus himself, he comes up to us. He says, "Hello, can I walk along with you?" And we are oblivious. Or as Scripture puts it, we are kept from recognizing him. And so this morning we encounter Jesus, the stranger. Jesus asks the two disciples, "What are you talking about? What worries you? What are you concerned about?" And I suppose he asks us as well. And we might answer, "Are you kidding? Don't you watch the news? Haven't you checked your email yet? There's lots to worry about." In this case, the two disciples say, they explain what has happened. I think they're delighted to meet someone that they can explain, they can talk to, someone new. They can unburden their hearts. Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, our teacher. He was powerful in word and deed. But our chief priests and the Roman governor had him killed. He was tortured. He was crucified. We had thought he was going to save us, to rescue us from the Romans, to redeem the worship of the temple. But they killed him. Dead and buried, we saw the body. And yet some of the women in our group claimed that this day, the third day, they had a vision of angels who said that this Jesus is alive. And now we don't know what to think. But my friend Cleopas here, he said, "Let's go for a walk. Let's get out of town. Let's go to Emmaus." And that's what we're doing. These two disciples, they are in a state of blessedness. They do not know it. They feel alone, but they are not alone. They sense that the world is beyond their understanding. Yet Jesus, the Christ, through whom the whole world was made, he is walking beside them, talking with them, and they do not see him. They see someone, they see the stranger, but they don't see Jesus. Scripture says that the disciples were kept from recognizing him. What a strange little verse this is. It's a passive verb. Always be suspicious when you encounter a passive verb. Because you have the thing that happens. They are kept from seeing him, but there is no agency in this sentence. We don't know why or who causes their blindness. We don't know what prevents these disciples from recognizing Jesus. I wonder, perhaps, maybe Jesus himself has clouded their understanding, sensing that they are not yet ready to encounter him. Or perhaps it is something in the disciples themselves, their confusion, their grief, their sin, that makes them unable to see Jesus walking beside them. Again, Jesus, the stranger. And I'll ask you one more time, is this not your life at least at moments. We know that we are God's beloved children. We know this. We know that Jesus, our Savior, walks beside us. We know that the Holy Spirit longs to fill us even as the air fills our lungs when we inhale. All this we know, but we don't think about it, or we don't take it seriously. We do not recognize. Jesus rebukes the two disciples gently. I imagine this morning he rebukes us gently. How foolish you are, you people of St. Augustine's. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Jesus offers these two disciples what must be the greatest Bible study of all time. Jesus, who is himself, Jesus, who himself inhabits Scripture, is now unfolding Scripture to these two disciples, explaining all that was said concerning himself, beginning with Moses and all the prophets. So they walk along the road to Emmaus. But as they walk along the road, they're also walking through salvation history. As they approach the village of Emmaus, they are approaching that moment when the meaning of Scripture and the fulfillment of all salvation history is to be revealed. Yet Jesus acts as if he is going further. But the two disciples, they urge him strongly, "Stay with us. It is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So many great moments in this story. This is certainly one of them. Between the moment that Jesus walks on alone and the moment when the disciples say, "Wait a minute, it's late, come and stay with us." In that moment, something very beautiful happens. I don't suppose Jesus was just pretending that he was going to walk further. He meant to keep going. And the disciples, of course, might have said, "Well, goodbye, brother. Good luck. Thanks for the conversation. If you should happen to see Jesus, who we're told is raised from the dead, would you say hello from us, his friends?" They might have said this. "Give him our best regards." And so the conscious encounter with God, the deliberate moment of recognition, might never have happened, and we would not have this story. I'd be reading some other gospel passage. This is the fragile moment. Well, one of a few fragile moments. But the disciples do the right thing. In this stranger, if they don't consciously recognize Jesus, at least they recognize a fellow disciple, a beloved child of God. And they say, "Please stay with us." We are reminded, perhaps, at least I am, of a similar moment. This would have been 1,000 years previous. But in the same country, you'll know this story. There were 3 strangers on this day, and they were walking, and they came up to a tent in the wilderness in the tent there were 2 people, elderly people, one named Abraham and the other Sarah. And the 3 strangers walk up to the tent, and they shout hello, and Abraham and Sarah come up. And they might have said, "Who are you? You frighten us, go away." These strangers. Instead, they recognize the strangers as, like them, children of God. And they invite the strangers to stay. And Sarah goes off to cook a meal. And Abraham and the strangers talk. But Sarah's listening in, eh? She's listening in. But anyway, the strangers, they tell Abraham this crazy thing, that Sarah, who's 90 years old, is going to have a baby. And Sarah's listening behind the tent, I think, and she laughs. She laughs, yet she believes. The strangers come with good news, and they believe, recognizing in these strangers God, actually, the fullness of God. The 3 of them in themselves carrying the fullness of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit among them. And of course, it all comes true, and Sarah does have a baby. They call him Isaac, which means laughter. It's a happy story. And it comes true because of this gift of hospitality. that upon seeing the stranger, they don't reject the stranger. They don't recoil with fear. The book of Hebrews reminds us, do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. And I would say more than angels. Anyway, back to Luke. The two disciples ask Jesus to stay with them in Emmaus, and he does. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread. He gave thanks to God for the bread. He broke the bread, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Jesus. And immediately, he disappeared from their sight. Here is another verse I cannot explain, but I have to say I find this completely convincing. In fact, the more supernatural the moment, the more convincing I find it. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. So they see him, and they don't see him. He is with them, and then he is not. We know that in Jesus, we encounter God in human form. But when Jesus reveals his divinity to us, either we don't see it, his divinity, and there's a long, you know, the Gospels are full of moments in which people see Jesus and don't recognize his divinity. They see only his humanity. Or in a moment like this, we recognize Jesus as God, as divine, as transcendent and immortal and eternal and infinite. And in that moment, we don't see his humanity. It's as if by nature of our human smallness, our frailness, we cannot see two things at once. We think, well, it must be divine or human. And so we miss the fullness of the mystery of Jesus. Divinity, by its nature, is not empirical, of course. Divinity will escape our senses. Divinity cannot be measured. It cannot be held. You can't put it in a cardboard box, mail it to your son-in-law who lives far away. You can't do this with divinity. Cannot be touched, cannot be contained. I think of the divinity of Jesus, at least at this moment, is perhaps like those frequencies on the color spectrum, the ultraviolet at one end or the infrared at the other, which are real, but which cannot be seen by the human eye. So the disciples see Jesus, and then suddenly they don't. The poet Wordsworth, he speaks of such a moment. When the light of sense goes out, he says, but with a flash that reveals the invisible world. And I think of, if you've ever been in a thunderstorm, lightning storm, lightning flash, 3 a.m, the world is completely dark. Maybe you're camping. And you go, it's for some reason you're awake at 3 a.m, you go outside, there's a flash of lightning, and the whole world is revealed in a thousandth of a second, in a flash of lightning, and immediately it disappears. This is a moment like that for the disciples. The light of sense goes out, but with a flash that reveals the invisible world. Or say that just for a moment, just for a second, a thousandth of a second, they see the divinity of Jesus and his humanity disappears for them in that moment. For a moment that is gone even as it is given, they see the heavenly Jesus and watch the earthly Jesus disappear. So the disciples do not see, but they remember having seen and then not seeing. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? So once again, there is Jesus the stranger. In a sense, Jesus will always be strange to us, not because we do not know him, but because there is so much in him that transcends our knowing. We both know and are overwhelmed by who He is. There is divinity in Jesus that exhausts our ability to perceive it. Or as another poet, this is T.S. Eliot, he says, "We are children easily tired." We see Jesus and we're exhausted almost by it. We're overwhelmed. Or in another place, he says, "Mankind cannot bear very much reality." So we have moments, and then the moment's over. Happily, our relationship with Jesus is not based on our knowledge of Him, but His knowledge of us. Our salvation is not founded on our comprehension of God, but God's perfect comprehension of us and His mercy and His love. God will always come to us in ways that we can recognize. As this same story demonstrates, He comes to us in Scripture. He comes to us in the breaking of the bread and in the prayers. But folks, I think the point of the story this morning at least is that He comes to us in each other. He comes to us in the stranger. We know that ever since Jesus ascended into heaven, ascended as a human being into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father as the first, the most perfect, the first fruits of them that slept, you know. Jesus is now human in heaven. We know this. And ever since that moment, we are to be the body of Christ. His body is now in heaven. His perfected, His resurrected body is in heaven. Since that moment and since Pentecost, we are to be the body of Christ. And what this means is that in each other, we will meet Jesus. And in the stranger, we will meet Jesus. So you might take a moment now and you could look at someone seated next to you, someone you don't know very well, or in a pew in front of you or behind. Look at the stranger sitting next to you and you will see something of Jesus. It's true. Even better, and we'll do this, I ask you to do this, at the passing of the peace, I'll ask you to find someone you don't know, whose name you do not know, you don't know what they do for a living. And I want you to recognize them as a stranger and then recognize them as the stranger. And offer them the peace of Christ, for it is so that Christ comes among us this day. Thanks be to God. Amen.